No, fight for it. Fuck. Oh.
Thank you.
My daddy, he dead. And she like, it okay. You're Augustus's adopted son. It's okay. Yeah.
Right. That's Rome, my fucking god.
Arafactus Augustae. I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Make it so.
Because you are the wind beneath my wings, I'm sorry.
Fucking what? This podcast has been called The Greatest of All Time.
Welcome back to The Life of Augustus Caesar, episode 83. How are you, Ray?
Doing okay. Obviously, we are the hosts of the most humble show out there, but yeah, doing okay. I'm freezing, you're sweating, I've had dinner, you've had breakfast, so hey.
And we've both just had the Sol Invictus celebration, the winter solstice for you, summer solstice for me. Right. Saturnalia, did you sacrifice any interesting animals during your Saturnalia celebrations?
I did, my neighbor's dog, but mostly just because they were getting on my nerves, and I saw an opportunity.
Mm.
What about you?
Mm. Yeah, you got to take them when you can. we went up to my hometown of Bundaberg, sweated like dogs and pigs. But we're back in Brisbane in the aircon. My mother doesn't have aircon.
What?
She lives in, you know, a very hot, humid climate, and she says aircon makes you weak.
Keeps you alive is what it does.
So no aircon at my mum's house. But anyway, it was good. It was all good. No. So here we are. Let's get into it. So at the end of our last episode, we were talking about young Tibby, the Tibster. You know, Augustus has been throwing a lot of Benjamins in his direction, giving him he had a triumph. Right. First person in over 10 years, apart from Augustus, get a triumph. Yeah. He's now the senior member of Augustus's inner circle. Everyone's thinking, that's it, Tiberius. He's the big dog.
Yeah,
he's the new Agrippa. He's number two
in a good way.
In a good way, but Tiberius, not happy. Not happy. No. Tiberius is the original emo teenager, even though he's, I don't know, what is he at this stage? 37
yeah.
or something?
Yeah, pouty.
He says, well, fuck all you guys. I'm sick of this shit. And he literally just resigns and fucking goes away.
Yeah, he did what I did last Friday. He ripped off his name badge, held it out, opened his hand, dropped it, let it clank on the floor, turned, and walked away.
Pulled down his drawers, rubbed it up and down his butt crack, ran around, stuck it under people's noses, and then dropped it on the floor and ran.
Yeah.
This is what I think of your job. We're not joking here. We're serious. Tiberius just suddenly declared, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going. I'm out of here. I'm out of 5,000. And no one really knows why.
Right.
There are a bunch of theories that we will go into. You know, it appears like something happened behind the scenes of the imperial court. Some sort of an argument, some sort of a tension. And Tiberius just said, fuck it, that's it, I'm done, had enough.
Yeah.
And he said he was tired.
Right, yeah. He's been busting his balls.
Yeah, when he said he was tired, my initial response was,
oh, poor you.
Yeah. poor you, he was tired.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on with Tiberius, Ray?
Well, here's the thing. He was, as far as I was reading, he was about to receive another commission to go to the east And he said, nah, don't wanna, cuz. And that's pretty much all he said. But like you said, there was a bunch of theories going around about, you know, was it his wife, whatever. But I think at the end of the day, to some degree, I think Tiberius was telling the truth. He was tired. He was in his 30s. He's been busting his butt for years for Augustus. He's been running all over the place. And don't get me wrong, the generalship he liked, he was good at it. But again, just to be on the go constantly. And I think he just took a look at Agrippa, who went to a relatively early grave, and said, fuck this. I'm not doing this for the state. I'm not Augustus. I'm not Agrippa. I'm my own person, and I'm just not cut that way. And I want to go party. I've earned it.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think I think you're, seeing Tiberius as you would see yourself. Because you're like, he's working hard. I don't want to work hard. He doesn't want to work hard. He just wants to lie around, watch porn, jerk off all day. You're seeing Tiberius in the Ray mold. I think that's a mistake.
So what do you think is going on there?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on, but we'll get into it. Before we talk about why, let's talk about what he did. So he said he wanted to give up all of his titles and awards. He wanted to stop being a general. He wanted to get rid of his potestas, his imperatorship. He wanted to go and live a private life. He wanted to go to Rhodes to study and just live a quiet life. And people just laughed and went, sure, yeah. Nice one. And he said, no, I'm serious. And they went, yeah.
Pull the other one.
Okay, he said, Augustus, can I quit? And Augustus said, no, you can't quit. You're my guy.
Yeah.
You're my guy. You're my new Agrippa. Anything goes wrong anywhere in the empire, I send you there. Of course you can't quit. So Tiberius went on a hunger strike. like, some, fucking prisoner in an Australian concentration camp on the island of Nauru. Yes, we have them. And yes, people go on hunger strikes there.
Yes.
Out of to complain about their treatment. Well, we did. They got shut down.
Right.
But not by us, by the governments of those countries, who finally went, why are we allowing this to happen on Papua New Guinea and Nauru? This is wrong.
Right.
Anyway, sticking to the point. He went on a hunger strike, refused to eat anything for 4 days before Augustus finally took him seriously and gave in. Now, I have a couple of things to say about that. Like, 4 days? Fuck off. I once fasted for 30 days.
What?
So 4 days, that's nothing. 4 days, I'm barely, noticing that I'm hungry after 4 days. Yeah, just warming up. So fuck that shit. Secondly, I don't know.
I had a second thing in there, but I can't remember. You think about that.
Yeah, you go.
So when I was getting ready for my backdoor action with a doctor, you can't eat the day before. And so the first day comes where you can't eat. You're miserable at breakfast, but by lunchtime, you've adjusted, your stomach's adjusted, and I wasn't hungry. I was drinking whatever, so The first day I was fine. The second day I couldn't eat until like 3 o'clock or whatever. But like you said, I mean, once your body adjusts, it's not a big deal. So I'm not impressed with 4 days, but obviously Augustus was.
Understand. Now Augustus does not take it very well. He publicly condemns Tiberius for being a pussy and neglecting his duties of state. He said, that potestas that you had, it's now pustestas. That's what I'm calling it now.
Tiny pustestas.
I'm changing your tribunitia potestas to your tribunitia pustestas, you big fucking pussy. You're tired. You know what? I've been doing this shit since I was 18. I'm now 60, motherfucker. Yeah. You're tired? Fuck you.
Jeez.
Anyway.
Take a nap.
So instead of setting out for the provinces as the commander of many legions, as he was supposed to, with all of the pomp and ceremony that came with it, Tiberius instead left Rome quietly the dark of night with a few friends and snuck off to go to Rhodes to be a private citizen. But he's not far out of Rome when he gets a text message from Livia saying Augustus was ill again. Oh, my God. He's sick. Augustus. This is it.
This is the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey.
I don't know what that is. What's that?
Separate son. Sorry. It's an American show.
Oh, Jesus. So Tiberius has to stop and think this through for a second. Like, is it real? Is it just fake news? Is Augustus trying to fake him out? Augustus hasn't been sick for a long time. So Tiberius sticks around for a few days just to see if it gets worse, if it gets better, what's going on. It didn't get worse, but he figured the optics of it were pretty bad. Like, he says, that's it, I don't want any more responsibility, I'm leaving. But then Augustus gets sick and people are going, oh, look at him. Like, he's sticking around because he goes, well, I don't want to do it anymore. But, of course, if Augustus dies and I'm the boss, well, that's different. Then I would find the energy to do the work. Look, I don't want all of this responsibility unless I get to be the new emperor. Then, of course, like, come on. Then I will accept the responsibility if I get the name badge that says the big fucking dog on it. Anyway, so he decided it wasn't a good look, this sticking around and waiting. Maybe I'm being harsh. Maybe it was like, well, shit, if he dies, I want to be there, you know, to piss on his ashes. No, to give a speech at the funeral. I don't want to go all the way to Rhodes. I'd have to come all the way back because the old man dies, and I have to, you know, I'm the only surviving adult, male stepson. I have to get up and give a little bit of a speech, you know, song and dance, that kind of thing. Don't have to go all the way to Rhodes, come all the way back next week. That'd fucking ruin my summer. But anyway, he decides, he's not really sick. He's faking it, just trying to get my sympathy. Fuck him. And he goes to Rhodes.
Yep. So he goes on to Rhodes. And so now like you said, the sources are like totally confused. No one could really nail down why he is doing this, why he is shocking the world. But there are several theories that have been floated from this moment until today. A lot of people have been examining this over and over, and there are several theories about why he did this. One of the ones was that he was jealous of Caius and Lucius, that they were, even though they were still kids, they were starting to come up, starting to get some popular recognition, some public acclaim, and he knew that they were Rome's future. And maybe he was just jealous and he was just being a caretaker or a regent. He was being Augustus as a fireman, putting out trouble, you know, whenever it's popped up. Maybe he didn't want to do that anymore if he wasn't going to get the top position eventually. So maybe it was just simple jealousy over these two young Roman pricks.
Yeah, that's one of the theories. Another is that just the whole bullshit with Julia got too much. He couldn't stand that anymore. Can't be married to her, can't divorce her. So he just wanted to get away. Maybe he was just tired. But this whole just tired thing doesn't make any sense because, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, he's not just the stepson of Augustus. He's a Claudian.
Yeah.
And the Claudians have got a long, long track record of public service. That he's going to take that very, very seriously, being the heir, the leading member of the Claudian tribe, the clan. Right. You know, he can't just go, oh, fuck, I'm tired. That's no good. on his way to Rhodes, though, before we get too far ahead, he stopped at the Greek island of Paros, where he bought a statue of Vesta to be placed in the Temple of Concord, So, you know, he said, look, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to send it back to let them know I'm all good. The palace of the Temple of Concord, obviously, is about peace and harmony. So it's okay. I'm leaving, but everything's good. I'm going to send that back as a gift. Now, one of the other interpretations of his self-exile is, of course, that he was unhappy with the direction that Augustus was taking Rome. He could see that Caius and Lucius were being groomed to be princes, and the Claudian in him went, no, listen, you know, I thought we had a deal. I thought while Drusus was still alive, we had a deal, Augie, that we were going to return this to a republic. It's obvious you're trying to build this into a monarchy. I don't want to be part of this. I'm out. Now, Augustus's retort would have been, motherfucker, why do you think you have all the advantages and the benefits that you do? Why do you think you were a consul at whatever it was? Can't remember now, 20, 24, something, 22. Right. Because you're my stepson. Like, you didn't earn it. Fuck off. You have benefited from being the stepson to the great Augustus. So are these kids. You can't get all snooty and high and mighty and, oh, Republic now. Respublica, you can't take advantage of it. You can't take advantage of it for 20 years and then all of a sudden decide that you don't want anyone else to, you don't like where it's going. Come on, grow the fuck up. Anyway, so he gets to Rhodes after he goes to Paros. He'd been to Rhodes before on an earlier trip, liked it there, found himself a small, humble little house, not some big mansion, not some big villa, just right. A tiny little house. And apparently just took to wandering the town, chatting with the locals, studying philosophy. And as one of the books I read said, made a big deal out of this, snacking on fish.
Okay.
I don't know why they felt that needed to be mentioned. I can't remember. I think it was Dio or something said. And he was snacking on fish. Like, ooh, saucy.
Maybe he really liked fresh fish.
Like, who doesn't, really? I mean, why was that such a big deal that it needed to be mentioned? He was snacking on fish.
I do want to bring up one thing. You were mentioning that maybe he was upset with Augustus for not taking Rome back to the Republic. But I'm just trying to imagine one of these noble, great lines, one of these families who have been taught and trained and reared to go after every bit of power and dominance you can. That just doesn't really sit well in my head, that he's like, no, it's either the Republic or I'm out of here. I'm disappointed in you, Augustus. I think it's more realistic for him to say, either I get it all because I've been taught to obtain power, or I'm out. To me, that makes more sense than that he's disappointed that the Republic is not coming back.
Yeah, makes more sense to me too. And you got to imagine that this must have caused a huge political shockwave throughout Rome. I mean, this was without precedent, I think. People would retire, but only when they were very, very old and accomplished everything. I mean, Sulla retired after he was dictator for, was it 6 months? He was like, all right, that's done. I'm done. I did what I came to do. Fixed up. I'm going off to have sex with my boyfriend and maybe my wife as well. But we're all going to live together. And it's going to be fine. Don't you worry about who I'm having sex with at any particular moment. None of your business. I'm a man. And if I want to have sex with another man, that's between me and his butthole. But, Tiberius isn't Sulla. Sulla was at the end of his life. I think he died like 6 months later or a year later. For somebody young-ish in his prime, the 2IC, second in command, everything on his plate, on his doorstep, everything there for him for the taking, to walk away midstream, mid-flow, he's at the urinal, he's midstream and he just turns and walks out the door. That's never been heard of before. You don't do that. You at least finish it, shake it. Knock it against the side of the That's a bit of an old Billy Connolly sketch. It's Billy Connolly. I think it's Billy Connolly. He's talking about, you know, when he's when he's shaking off at the urinal, he like swing his hips from side to side and slap the side of it to make it slap it with his other hand to make it sound like he's slapping his dick against it. Anyway, yeah, like for a man of his status, involvement in political life wasn't a career choice like we think of it today. For a man with his lineage, being involved in political life wasn't something you chose to do. That was your whole purpose. That was part of your identity. Yeah. That was what you were born for, trained for. That was your raison d'être. It was the purpose of your existence. You don't just fucking walk away. That was, walking away is a rejection of the fundamental social values of Rome and the aristocracy. Especially for a Claudian to go live with the Greeks. What? You don't go live with the Greeks if you're a Claudian. So it could be read as his reaction to a political situation that he thought it was so corrupt, there was no place for a good man and he had to leave town. Or he would find himself, you know, increasingly at odds with Augustus and that wasn't going to end well. So that's another potential theory.
Yeah.
That's it. Tiberius just wanted to get free. That's Get Free by Australian band The Vines. Just a little historical note. My sister Anita and I went to their very first gig ever.
Wow.
For the album launch for that. It was pretty fucking intense and insane. Nice. Sorry, I cut you off there before unintentionally, Ray. Please get back to what you were saying.
No, I just want to say the best that I could come up with in trying to figure this out, and I think you've said this previously, we'll really never know because the sources themselves didn't know, was that Tiberius, as far as being a general, being with the troops, doing that kind of thing, I think he was okay with that. I think he enjoyed that to a certain degree. But as far as the politics, the mingling with people, the worrying about the morale and all the other, you know, because Augustus wears like 27,000 different hats and he does so happily. I think he enjoys the challenge. He enjoys meeting new people and his wife was equally a workhorse. And I think that it suited them. But I think Tiberius just realized this is not how I want to spend the rest of my life. So I'm taking myself off. And of course, he's forgetting that the pile of cash that he has is because of the job that he did and because of his father-in-law. But again, I think the best I can do is that he realized he did not want this to be his life for the rest of his life, which I don't know, you know, there could have been intrigue, palace intrigue. We have no idea, but you just get the sense that this is not for him and he's going to fight for himself because no one else is going to certainly encourage him to leave. So he has to do it himself. And like you said, it just defied logic that no one could figure out what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, but I call bullshit on that because he comes back. Spoiler alert, but he comes back and ends up as the fucking emperor. So... Yeah.
Well, then it becomes the master of delegation.
If he legitimately didn't want to be involved in public life, then he wouldn't have come back. Now, so either he changed his mind in the years he was away,
right,
or it was all bullshit and he was just chucking an emo tanty in the first place. You know, maybe he thought He had Augustus by the balls. Maybe he thought, well, he needs me, and if I threaten to leave, he will beg and plead and give me what I want. But if that was what he planned, if that's what he thought was going to happen, he was very, very wrong. Augustus was furious and made no attempt to hide it. You know, he had raised this kid, his stepson, to the highest position in the state behind himself. Not, you know, it's not like he earned it. He was, as we know, because we've gone through this kid's entire life, he was given a hand up at every step of the way by Augustus. Sure, he was competent, but this isn't a meritocracy where guys like Tiberius are concerned. He's had a silver spoon in his mouth the whole fucking way. But it's a bit like, you know, I'm sure there are guys like this today. You know, you have these guys like Donald Trump who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Daddy was rich. Grandmother was rich. Grandfather was rich. He's had a silver spoon in his mouth. But I'm sure that some of these guys end up believing their own bullshit. They end up believing that they did it all themselves. Right. It's not when Donald Trump says that he's a self-made man and that he didn't get any help from his father, you know, conveniently forgetting the $8 million loan that he got from his father in like 1973 or whatever it was. I think he probably genuinely believes it. I think he's convinced himself that that's true, that he did it all himself and that he's a fucking rock star and a genius, not that he's a rich daddy's boy who would be nowhere if he, you know, didn't get, you know, millions and millions of dollars given to him at a very young age. Maybe Tiberius was that. Either way, Augustus, fucking furious, just sees it as complete ingratitude. Agrippa never walked away, and he wasn't related at all. You know, Agrippa took it like a man. Yes, he died young, although not really young, not for men of their era. I mean, how old was Agrippa? 50?
50-something. I think that's,
it's a reasonable age. Augustus is 57 at this point, 57 not out, but now he's left all alone. And he's absolutely, absolutely fucking furious. And he's going to stay furious for quite a few years, as we'll see. This, I think this marks a turning point in Augustus's emotional state, because from this point on, he just seems to get crabbier and less tolerant of people in his inner circle, as we will see over the next few episodes.
And, I mean, yeah, but this is like a personal slap, a stab in the back or whatever, and this is not the last one, and I think you're right, he does become more sensitive. How do you not feel personally betrayed? Did you want to cover any of his time on Rhodes? Because I've got some stuff from Suetonius.
Yeah, we'll get there, but before we get into that, let's keep talking about his motivation. So this whole theory that you threw up before, that he was worried that the boys, Gaius and Lucius, were getting favorable treatment, that they were being turned into princes, that he was just going to be a caretaker, that makes a little bit of sense on the surface until you think, look, they're really young. They're still tweens, really. There's a long time before they're going to be adults and they're going to be ready to have any authority. No one knows what's going to happen to them during that period of time, what's going to happen to Augustus, who's 57 at this stage, as I said. Like, that's old in this day and age. Yeah. Like, it's not like they're about to be made the princes tomorrow. There's a long time to come, and, of course, as we'll see, you know, they didn't survive that long. So, spoiler alert. So, I don't know. Surely, he's already seen what can happen. Drusus is gone. Marcellus is gone. Agrippa is gone. I'm missing someone. Someone else died. Who else died? Who am I forgetting?
Maecenas.
Well, no, I'm thinking about, you know, potential heirs to the Augustan throne. I'm assuming Marcellus. I don't know. Anyway, people are dying left, right, and center. Like, it's not. Right. It's not like he mustn't have been aware that something could happen to them through means fair or foul. Anyway, before he left, Tiberius apparently showed his will to Augustus and Livia to prove that he had included the boys, who, let's remember, are Agrippa's sons to Julia, adopted by Augustus. So they're Tiberius's stepsons, but not really. He's included them as his principal heirs should anything happen to him. So he's like, look, I got nothing against the kids, right? They're my stepsons. Well, they would be if you hadn't fucking adopted them. Don't like their mother. It's true. But, you know, I liked Agrippa. He was a good guy. And they're my heirs. So I got no ill feeling towards the boys. But the other thing we have to remember, after you.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you're right, but going back to what you said earlier, not only are they kids, but they're not going to be handed power anytime soon. So there's a 10-year gap, at least, before they can actually do anything. Like you said, Augustus could die at any second because he is 57. I mean, this is a big deal. But Tiberius is pointing out, look, I have nothing against the boys. They're part of my heirs. I know they're being groomed. I get all that. It's just that I need to just go and find myself. And I know it's not here. And Augustus just couldn't understand that.
Yeah, that again still says like bullshit to me because he comes back and he wants to be emperor. Oh, yeah. So fuck that shit.
I was being bullshit.
He's. Oh, okay. But the other thing I think we have to remember is, and we've talked about this before, from what we know, it looks like Augustus may not have really intended for his power to end up in the hands of a single person anyway. Mm-hmm. He seems to have had this idea of a small council, right, that would take over when he was gone. A group, a handful, a half dozen men who would share the power amongst themselves. It seems to be that is his plan. So he probably thought, you know, when I'm gone, it'll be Tiberius and Gaius and Lucius and maybe a couple of other people that I haven't quite figured out yet because everyone's dying. But right. So it's not like Tiberius was going to be, but maybe that was his problem. He was like, I don't want to share the power. I want all the power. Fuck you. If I can't have all the power, I'm going to go. You can just fucking see how you'll do it without me. It's like that time you tried to quit, Raid. He said, fuck it, I'm going. If you don't treat me well enough, I'm going to quit. You come begging. And I was like, yeah, really? And then you went, okay, I'm not quitting. Fuck it. I was kidding. So anyway, yes, maybe not.
But, no, I didn't quit. No, I was just joking.
What? You took that seriously? Oh, no, come on. Now, maybe it was more about...
I'm a kid or I kid.
But the other thing I think we have to remember, too, is it's maybe what Augustus's plan didn't matter because once he's dead, Julia is still going to be around. Julia is his only biological child, much loved, as we'll see. Much loved in many ways, in the biblical sense as well as in the general populace loved her. But she was getting a lot of loving, if you know what I mean. A lot of loving. We're going to cover that in the next episode or the one after.
She was giving a lot of loving too.
Yeah, a lot of loving, giving a lot of love, a lot of hard loving in public, out in the open, maybe even. To just anyone, like anyone who walked past. Hey, you want some of this? You want some princess? Come and get some princess.
Hey, you. Yeah. Hey, you.
Now, she obviously, well, not obviously, but we can assume that she wanted her sons to Agrippa to take over from Augustus. So maybe she was plotting from the wings to minimize Tiberius's role. Obviously, the two of them didn't get along very well at this juncture. She'd had the miscarried pregnancy to him, so they don't even have a child together. Mm-hmm. she's getting a lot of loving around town. He's probably aware of that. So maybe Tiberius could have thought, well, once Augustus is gone, if I don't have all of the power, Julia's probably going to do away with me. Maybe Tiberius thought that when Augustus was gone, Julia would have him done away with, and I don't know. He just decided he didn't want to take that risk. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing, because even if he had stayed in his position, just like all her other husbands, he would have been away from her a lot. So, yeah, it couldn't have just been simple personality conflict. Like you said, I think he was maybe more worried about his life. If her father died, she suddenly has a lot more influence. And then what is his life worth? Because she's going to need a protector for her sons who are still too young. And Tiberius is pretty much given up that job. She needs someone else to step in that place, which means she has to have, well, theoretically, it means she has to have him removed.
Yeah, but I mean, and she's got a lot of men, as we will see, aristocratic men that are vying for her favor. But Tiberius is a two-time consul. He's been a general for fucking, I don't know, 15 years.
Right.
He's got armies who are loyal to him. I mean, come on. I mean, he can't really have been that scared of, like, Julia and a bunch of these aristocratic fops. I don't buy that as an explanation. This whole thing, too, about him being disgusted by Augustus turning Rome into an institutional monarchy, I mean, it's hard to fathom that, too. I mean, sort of regnum or dominatio, as it was called, sort of exorbitant power, wasn't a new thing in the history of Rome, as we know, or even in the history of the Claudians. They'd had people with insane amount of power over the previous 500 years. Yes, look, hereditary succession of the power to a youth, like a monarchical transmission of power, was something that was pretty different. And Gaius was obviously very, very popular. But again, he's still a boy. I mean, mm-hmm. I just can't understand how Tiberius would be threatened with everything that he had going for him, why he'd be threatened by some fucking kid or by the kid's mother. Even if the people were, you know, in love with Gaius or in love with Julia, it just doesn't make sense that Tiberius would be that chicken shit to go, oh, I've got to get out of here, I don't like it, I'm unhappy. I don't know, man. None of the explanations that I read make sense to me, other than the one where he said, you know what, fuck you, Augustus, I want the title, I want the power, and if you won't give it to me straight out and guarantee me that I will be your sole successor, then fuck you, I'm going to walk away and you just watch what happens without me. You'll be fucked, you'll beg me to come back. And Augustus went, fuck you, who do you think you're talking to? And Tiberius took off just to stick it to him, basically. That, to me, that's the explanation that seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, I can get behind that because, again, Tiberius has been taught to crave power. He's had a taste of power. He probably likes it. His father-in-law is 57 years old. He needs to pop off already. And, again, it answers the most questions given the culture of Rome at the time. And again, we could be completely wrong, but that's just, I think, the best explanation we can come up with the information that we're given.
He's like, I married your bitch whore daughter.
Who cares?
In order that, you would give me the fucking everything, and now you're holding back saying, well, maybe you should share it with the kids. Fuck you.
Yeah. A council? You want a college of men guiding the country after you're gone? Fuck that. I want it all.
Yeah. And you know, Gaius's only claim to power is his grandfather, his adoptive grandfather. I mean, come on, I'm a man. If you're going to pass power to the most senior and experienced man in the state, that is me. Like, come on, don't fuck around.
Boom, right here. That's right.
In the Republic, the great men were judged, at least in theory, on their achievements. Now, in a monarchy, your status is determined by your birth, not by what you've done. You inherit the power. And Augustus had been saying, obviously, for the last 30 years that it was still a republic, it wasn't a monarchy. He's gone to lengths to try and keep up appearances. But even, you know, I think the people kind of know they're living in a monarchy, and by their approval of Gaius at that event we mentioned recently where they got up and then they tried to vote him as consul when he was like 12 or whatever. Obviously they, or at least a faction of them that are manipulating things, want to see the power passed down. The fact that Tiberius's resignation comes quickly on the heels of that, I think, indicates that they're possibly connected. But again, I mean, he had himself, Tiberius, has risen up because, as a result of Augustus's favour. So I don't know I don't know that he can be too pissy about the people or Augustus preferring Caius either. Anyway, whatever happened, whatever the cause of it was, he left. He was stripped of all responsibilities. He continued to hold his Tribunitia Pussitestis and Imperium until they expired in 1 BCE when they weren't renewed.
Yeah.
But not a bad way to be a tourist. I'd love to go. I'd love to be a tourist. You go to Rhodes, but you've got Tribunitia Pussitestis and Imperium.
Yeah.
So not a bad way. I wish when we go to Europe this year, in the middle of 2018, that we had that. We could just walk around and go, hey, you, fucking carry my bags.
You really? Can't touch me.
On whose authority?
That's right.
On my authority, bitch. Look at this. Imperator, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, you wanted to talk a little bit about Tiberius on Rhodes?
Well, yeah, I was looking at the Lives of the 12 Caesars by Suetonius, and there was just a couple of extracts from that talking about Tiberius's time, some of his time on Rhodes, and I just wanted to go through that real quick because it's like, yeah, I mean, what is this guy doing? Is he genuine in really wanting to just Netflix and chill, or is it just a game that he's playing? You know, so what's going on while he's on Rhodes? So I just wanted to read a passage from that. Having been struck with the pleasantness and healthiness of the island at the time of his landing, he contented himself with a small house and a villa not much larger. He led an entirely a private life, taking his walks sometimes around the gymnasia without any lictors or attendants, and returning the civilities of the Greeks with almost as much compliance as if he had been upon a level with them. There's only one instance mentioned in which he appeared to exercise his tribunician authority. Being a constant attendant of the schools and the lecture rooms of the professors of the liberal arts, on occasion of a quarrel amongst the reigning sophists, in which he interposed to reconcile them, some person took the liberty to abuse him as an intruder and impartial in the affair. Upon this, withdrawing privately home, he suddenly returned, attended by his officers, and summoned his accuser before his tribunal, and by a public crier he had the man taken to prison. So generally he chilled out, but there was one time when someone got under his skin and he used his authority to bitch slap the guy down. I just wanted to mention that basically he seems to have legitimately chilled out. He exercised for a while. He walked around. He got to know people. Then something's going to happen where he's going to feel a little more hopeless. And from what I could tell, he gives up all forms of exercise and he pretty much just lays around the house. He doesn't become an alcoholic like some other people, but he does seem to turn inward. And I don't know if you want to use the word depraved or whatever, but there is a change that he goes through. So he starts out relaxing, but then he seems to change when he gets some bad news that we'll go into later. And he seems to come back a very different man than when he arrived at Rhodes.
Yeah. And getting back to this idea of sort of his workload before he retired,
mm-hmm.
I think it is worth remembering that it was very unusual. I mean, he had spent the first 15, 17 years, whatever it is, of his adult life pretty much campaigning nonstop, very rarely in Rome for very long. And this is very unusual. Like if you even think about Julius Caesar,
mm-hmm.
he spent the first 20 years of his adult life, a few years on and a few years off. He was with the army, then he'd go back to Rome and be a lawyer for a couple of years, then he'd go back out, campaigning for somebody, and then he'd go back to Rome for a couple of years. It wasn't until he went to Gaul in 59, so for about, what is it, 50, 60 would be 40? Yeah, so he's like 40, 41 before he went to Gaul, where from that point on he was basically a military commander slash governor slash dictator for the rest of his life. Traditionally, that's not how you did it in Rome, and we know that his Gaul commission was extraordinary as well. Before that, you would do a few years on, a few years off. Yeah. Romans didn't like to work too hard. You know, they go out in the sticks in the provinces and have sex with barbarian girls for a few years, but eventually you want to come back to some Roman pussy, good restaurants, the theatre, good wine, all that kind of stuff. But Agrippa obviously had not done that, although he had a few spells in Rome, obviously, but not very long. Put him in an early grave, as you said. So I think it is worth pointing out that even though ambition and public career and political life is part of being a Roman aristocrat, and particularly for a Claudian, that kind of work ethic where you're just never home was unusual at this juncture in Rome's history. And maybe Tiberius just said, you know, this is no, you just can't keep this up. No one can keep this up. No one has kept this up before me except Agrippa, and he died. So I don't want to do that. Maybe, I don't know. But I just think if that was the case, if that was his issue, really, surely he could have said to Augustus, look, stepdad, fucking this is unnatural and it's wearing me out. Look, just can I delegate? Like, can I do a year on, year off maybe? You know, I'll go out. I'll get the army started.
Right.
Get the party started on a Saturday night, and then I'll come home. You know, like surely there was room for compromise if that was the real issue. It wasn't a binary situation where it had to be all or nothing. No, fuck you. I mean, Augustus has been relatively practical. Mm-hmm. He seems to be willing to negotiate. He's reasonable. He's a reasonable man, Augustus, has been my impression, particularly as he gets older. I mean, his younger days, maybe a little bit more hot-headed. The older he gets, particularly after he gets rid of Antony and Cleopatra, very, very, very sort of reasonable guy, balanced, measured. And so I can't understand why he wouldn't have had the same approach with Tiberius. And look, they just lost Drusus. He goes, yeah, look, you're right, man. I don't want to put you out there too often where you can get killed. You're my main man. You're my number two. If something happens to me tomorrow, I get hit by a bus tomorrow. Right. First of all, people will say, fucking, who invented that? That's 1900 years too soon. Secondly, they'll say, well, fuck. I mean, the kids can't do it. Who's going to run this place if I get hit by a bus tomorrow? It has to be you. Yeah, it makes sense. We can't send you out there on the front lines all the time. You need to be here. And there's snakes and mosquitoes and fucking diseases and
herpes,
all that kind of shit. Like, Agrippa died of some fucking disease. We don't know. People died of diseases. Drusus just fell off a horse. Like, you can die of herpes. You can die of all sorts of things. So it just doesn't make sense to me that they couldn't have resolved that if that was genuinely the issue, right? Does that make sense?
It does, but, I mean, Tiberius knew Augustus a hell of a lot better than we did, and so maybe he's picturing himself walking up to the old guy, and look, I know you've been doing this for practically 40 years, and there's, on several occasions, you almost died, and you've had to give up a lot, and you've lost a lot along the way. And I've been campaigning for 8 or 10 years. I'm just kind of tired, and maybe we could work something out. Maybe he just pictures Augustus turning his head, cutting his eyes at him, and going, "Are you fucking shitting me? You do, you know, put your work in for 40 years, and then we'll talk." And so maybe he assumed, rightly or wrongly, that he would not get a fair reception from Augustus.
Yeah, but again, I would have just gone, Look, Augustus, dude, you're old, okay? If you get hit by a bus tomorrow, who's going to run the ship? You know, there's no one. It's just me now. We can't. Yeah. You can't afford to have me out, you know, away from Rome, putting my life on the line every day. If something happens to you, I'm the last best hope of the empire, right? You can't. Okay, hold on. Yeah, I think he's pussy whipped if that's the case. If you can't, like, listen, dude, you just gotta, like, anyway, I've made my case. Now, Tiberius didn't even get to stay in Rome in the year he was consul. That's how busy he has been. And yes, look, we know he doesn't like people, a bit like me, doesn't really like people. I get to hide behind a microphone, so I don't have to see you when we do this, but... you know, he had to go out and run things with people, deal with people every day. Maybe he was just tired of that. But anyway, whatever the reason, Tiberius has walked away. And I think it's probably a good place to wrap up this episode, Ray.
All right. Sounds good. I'll see you in a week.
Okay. Well, that's a quick way to get out of it. Bye.
Bye.
We got to play some outro yet. Don't go too fast.
No.
Going to run my hand across it, lick it, probably dry hop it. I am looking forward to this.
Yeah, but here he is, Bill.
Fuck.
Oh, shit.
It's like Alpha. Uh-oh. Where are you up to in Doctor Who, by the way? They just got some cold compresses on Agrippa. He'd still be with us today.
Shoot that shit, green shit at me.
Yes.
I mean, if I had to be a slave,
if you're feeling sad, just turn your fascies upside down.
I'm not as impressed as I should be, I guess.